opening the House Committee on Redistricting for Friday, May 20, 2011.
Good morning. I'm opening the Senate Committee on Redistricting for today, May 20th, 2011.
We're here to receive public testimony on the alternative proposed redistricting plans, both legislative and congressional, that have been put forward. Without further ado, we'll bring up witnesses. I'm going to start with Representative Berger and Senator Boquist, please, if they'd like to testify. I'm going to ask people to try and keep to about 3 minutes to make sure we have time to get through everybody who's signed up.
Thank you, members of the committee, respected co-chairs, senators, and representatives. For the record, Vicki Berger, I represent West Salem, and your staff has kindly put up a section of my district so that I can explain. One of the maps that is out there basically divides the community of West Salem into two representatives' districts. I think the committee needs to understand that this is untenable to my neighborhood. West Salem started life as a separate city, separate from Salem. We still have a building down there that we call the Old City Hall. When you go to West Salem, there's only one access, and that is across a bridge, across the Willamette. It is separate and distinct, and what's more, it is in its own a separate county. West Salem is in Polk County. The rest of Salem is in Marion County. So it is, in the true sense, a community of interest. It has its own West Salem Business Association. It has a single high school. It considers itself a distinct community. And to divide it in half in terms of a representative district does it a true disservice. There are other parts of Salem that are divided. Salem is a large enough community. You can't have a single Salem district. But I'm here to impress on you, for the sake of my neighbors, that West Salem is a community of interest. I would also point out to you, because this is an interesting anomaly that I, last redistricting, I pointed out and didn't get anywhere, so I'll do it to you. If that map is up there, if they can go close in over that way, up on the West Salem Hills, okay. Back out a little bit. Okay. Wherever the urban growth boundary is, there are, and I won't go into it on the map. Your staff can explain it to you. My district has been West Salem to the, across the bridge, West Salem is considered to the urban growth boundary. The fact of the matter is, West Salem is pretty much grown out to the urban growth boundary, and there are neighborhoods in West Salem that predate land use planning. They have been thrown away out of the West Salem community the last time. It would be most helpful if those communities, because their association with West Salem, could be put back in. If you have to use the urban growth boundary, okay, so be it. But I have pointed out this to staff. There are neighborhoods out there that really are associated with West Salem. They are contiguous to the other neighborhoods in West Salem. They just happen to be outside the growth boundary because they were built before there was an urban growth boundary. So thank you for your attention to this, and I implore you, please keep West Salem across the river, the urban area of West Salem, as a single representative district. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Senator.
Thank you, Co-Chair Garrett, Co-Chair Bonamici, and other committee members. For the record, I'm Brian Boquist. Before I go further, I just want to mention that one of the reasons we're here is to establish, you know, the foundation to go forward. And I think other than Senator Beyer, who I believe was in the Senate in 2000, and myself, were involved in the last redistricting process because I was in the 5th Congressional District as a candidate twice. And so I've been to court on this issue once before. And it's not beyond my recognition that there's multiple lawyers sitting before me on the panel. So I'm going to limit my testimony primarily to Congressional Plan 1 or Legislative Plan 1, and I want to apologize for that and thank Molly Moon for sending it out, because that's the one I read. That's the map I saw. I did see the second set of maps, and I simply haven't got to looking at the second set of justifications, but I would tell you that you need a compromise between the two. you have written testimony that's coming across, and I will follow up with in-depth written testimony to the committee before Monday. I want to concentrate on a couple areas. First off, Senate District 5, which is not my district. I'm in Senate District 12 right now. I have five portions of five rural counties and six voters in Junction City, which is technically in Lane County presently. And I have really the district that was left over. In the end, in the court case, you couldn't make a perfect map, and the court said, yep, that's fine, 23 and 24, and Senate District 12, that's what's left over. We agree. You can't make a perfect map. I get what's left over. So go make your community of interest. Senate District 5 in the present proposal is a coastal district. Two things I would like to point out about that coastal district is that Sheridan, which is in that new coastal district, is inland from Willamina and about 68 miles from the beach. The second thing I would like to point out is Valsetts, which I will come back to, and Senator Byers knows exactly where I'm going on this particular issue. Another issue I'd like to point out in Senate District 6, which has an impact on my district, that I would point out, is in the last legislative session in 2009, SB 528 was passed, which banned field burning, so it's pretty hard to have a community of interest of field burning with the city of Eugene. In Senate District 12, my very first question that comes out is, where is Sheridan? And I have maps in here I'll show you, because I'm going to get on to the mapping issue very quickly here. Being an ex-military man, and I know there's several former soldiers right here, we follow and read this thing called FM3-25, which is map reading and land navigation. It's a very important document, and you shouldn't use computers when you start doing that, because once again, the question is, how is Sheridan inland from Willamina, but it's a coastal district in Sheridan? So you start scratching your head and saying, how do some of these things come together? And when you start getting down into the weeds in these places, I want to point out for the record, because it's used multiple times across multiple districts, Mr. Chair and co-chairs, is the American viticulture area sounds like a really great agricultural definition. For the record, committee, it is in fact a taxing definition provided by the alcohol, tobacco, and what used to be firearms for the basis of taxing winery. So it's not exactly an agriculture district, and it's actually applied for by individuals to get individual wineries and wine growing areas to get a different taxing position. So it's not necessarily agriculture. It's tax related, and it's related to the federal government. In House District 10, which impacts the changes that are my current district right here, House District 10 is, of course, comprised of Sheridan, a coastal community, which, again, is east of Willamina, a valley community. And those of you in geography, you can very quickly figure out that I'm not quite how you get there. If you're going to Sheridan, which is existing in my existing district, and the future would be in House District 10 on the coast, if you're coming from the coast, you have to go through Willamina, which will then be a valley district, and into Sheridan, which will be a coastal district, and then you can leave there and go into McMinnville, which will now be a valley district. Now, if you're coming the opposite direction, I'll save the time. You get the basic point here of the geography. It's also interesting to note that House District 10 will include the timber communities of Valsetts and Falls City, which, again, I will come back to. House District 23, which is presently, I serve two terms in that, it's in the southern part of Senate District 12, is a western rural Willamette Valley agricultural district. And further, it states, it proposes substantial changes to House District 23 in order to give a distinct voice to rural constituents of the western Willamette Valley. For the House members, when Senator Bonamici, Senator Prozanski, and Senator Beyer and Senator Starr, for whatever bizarre reason we have in the Senate, we don't call people by individual names, they have a title. My title is a senator from the Western Valley. I already have that. It's already a distinct region. It's creating nothing new, nothing different than it was before. So I should go on in that particular district and, I guess, come back to the issue I raised before, and that's the issue presently in the 23rd House District. You have the two distinct timber communities of Valsetts and Falls City. They're timber communities. The closest sawmill is about 28 miles away in Willamina. It's 68 miles to the coast from those because they're in a coastal district now. But I want to call your attention to a nice large map that we have provided, or picture we've provided you, that shows the city of Valsetts in 2009, the timber community of Valsetts. For the record, you have in your packet that the timber community of Valsetts has not existed not since the last census, not less the second last census, but has not existed since until 1986, which was when the last building was torn down and the town was actually closed down in 1984. As was quoted to me by a forester that was involved in working in Valsetts, it's going to be really hard to do a stump speech and get elected in Valsetts unless voter registration cards can be stamped by a deer hoof. I think that needs corrected, obviously.
Too much fun.
I definitely am having too much fun. In House District 24, you have an error between your printing and between your map. You list as communities of interest Yamhill and Carlton in House District 24. And in fact, they're not both in House District 24. You are correct. They are indeed communities of interest. They're kind of like West, you start discussing West Salem, Salem, the argument you have there, Independence, Monmouth, places like that. But statistically, if you look at your map and you do that, you'll find that you placed Yamhill in one House District and Carlton in another House District, and then you said in your text they were all in House District 24, which was quite interesting. I did point out, and you have in your map, in trying to wrap up here, Falls City, and this actually is off the Falls City webpage, is formerly a large logging population. And I say formerly, it is not a mill town anymore. In fact, some of the best bike paths we have around are over there, and I would invite Senator Prezansky to bring his checkbook and come over and ride his bike there because we need the business. So I would point that out to you. You also have in your packet, of course, a little Google map that's in there, which shows you from a mapping perspective that Senate District 12's future Willamina is to the west, towards the coast, of the coastal community to the east of Sheridan in Senate District 5, and you also see the Falls City map. I didn't bother putting a map to Valsetts because there are no voters, and I don't think we can get a deer can vote bill through the chambers at this point in time. Lastly, as I pointed out again, my district presently, Senate District 12, was what was legally left over. And the courts agreed to that. You couldn't make a perfect map, and so I got what was left over. And we have made it into a community of interest. And then, of course, for those of you and for the staff member to look, there is a little piece on Valsetts, Oregon, and who lives in the logging community of Valsetts. So you'll have that for the record, along with another Google map. And then, of course, I gave you a nice picture. I invite all of you to come with me once a year. There is a community of Valsetts. There is an annual reunion once a year. So you have a picture there. And if you look on this large picture, you can see where the old community center was. And that's where the reunion is and where we do our stump speeches out there once a year. With that, I would ask the committee consider some fairly substantial changes to at least two Senate districts and at least four House districts. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I'll just point out, Senator, that you gave us a lot of helpful specifics. I know that we've already identified the Yamhill, Carlton, and Sheridan issues as areas where we might want to make some changes. So, questions for the panel?
Yep.
Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real quickly, for West Salem, I see I'm trying to find out how far West Salem goes. And I'm trying to see what the natural boundary is. I see that there's some major roads, Brush College Parkway and Orchard Heights, and then there's the Oaks Ferry Road Northwest. Are those kind of natural boundaries?
No.
Or does it extend?
No. What has traditionally...
If you look on map 2, actually.
Yeah. What...
So there you go. Yeah, how far west into Polk County, or I guess it's already in Polk County, but how far west of that pink area does West Salem go?
See the streets that are obviously residential. Those are residential communities, but they are outside of the urban growth boundary, which has traditionally, in the last redistricting, West Salem was held hold as a community between the river and the urban growth boundary. There are some sort of anomalies over there, Representative, that are neighborhoods that have been there that predate the urban growth boundary. And they are neighborhood in nature. They have not been a part of my district, but I serve them as part of West Salem just because I know there's no distinction when you're at a neighborhood level. There's just a couple. They're called Eola and Chattanooga. I have mentioned this to staff. If, you know, I would, let me see if I can get, there's Orchard Heights, Emerald.
Chattanooga is down off of Walt, or Glen Creek.
Yeah, see that 37th place right in there? See that neighborhood right there? Right there. 37, 36, mm-hmm. in there. Those are outside of the city of Salem and outside of the urban growth boundary. They're in his district.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they are neighborhoods. And I mean, I know it is convenient to go to the urban growth boundary. I get that because it's a natural barrier, and that's what they did. Those communities predate that. And now, of course, the community has grown enormously, and it has grown out to that boundary. So there's really no sense of separation if you live in West Salem, except that oddities like our West Salem Neighborhood Association chair for 17 years didn't actually live in West Salem because he lived in that neighborhood. So that's the kind of thing that happens.
And Coach Lindsay, I would, as Representative Berger pointed out, she and I joke between the two of us here because I have the last two houses on every street. That's literally how it works. So you explain that community interest to me, but we have an efficient system where, you know, she carries my stuff, I carry her stuff, because I literally have the last two houses, two or three houses, on the end of every street in West Salem, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But again, my district was created because there was nothing left.
The critical thing is, though, do not divide this community in half. When you go across that bridge, collect those neighborhoods entirely, because we consider ourselves very much a single community. And I think you're going to hear from a lot of folks, because when I sent out two emails, it came back to me within hours how many people knew about this in West Salem, and they will be coming, if not now, then next week to tell you. So you won't just hear this from me.
Okay. Thank you. And I want to thank you for your testimony. And if people can't come to the hearing, they can email testimony, and that will be part of the record as well. I just wanted to make a point about communities of interest, because that seems to be what people are focusing on. That's undefined in our statute. And I want to clarify that our statute says that as each district, as nearly as practicable, shall not divide communities of common interest. That doesn't mean that a district needs to be all one community of interest. I know you understand that, Representative, but I just want to make that clear for people who are testifying. Some people are under the impression that a district has to be all urban or all rural and not have different communities of interest within it, and that's not the requirement. It's as nearly as practicable, not dividing the community. So just for the record, clarify that.
Senator, thank you. And I think what I'm trying to tell you, that West Salem is one of those undividable communities of interest.
Understood.
Are there further questions for these two legislators? Okay, thank you both very
much
for your time.
Thank you very, very much.
Representative McLean and Senator Thompson, are you here to testify?
No, I testify, but I'm just here to make sure Senator Starr gets out of here early so we can get over the bend and do the full pedal.
Okay, well.
Make sure you're not being here too long.
Representative Nolan?
Nolan.
Here to observe. Okay, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike McLean. I am the state representative for House District 55, and I live in Powell Butte, which is in Crook County, Oregon. I'm here to testify some of my concerns and the concerns of some of my neighbors with regards to specifically House option number one, which is would label the district that contains Crook County, where I live, in still House District 55. And there are two primary questions and concerns we wanted to raise for your committee, Mr. Chairman. And that is that Lakeview and Klamath Falls are divided. The current district of House District 55, I think, is the state house equivalent to Senator Boquist's district in the sense that the folks kind of felt it was the leftover district, and that once Bend was taken care of in Medford and the like, it was, well, everything in between is good enough. And but it didn't draw that line between towns. This particular option, house map number one, goes into Lakeview and actually separates part of that little town, which is the capital of Lake County, and separates that between house what would be District 55 and District 60. And I don't know if they can drill down in Lakeview or not, but at the Lakeview sort of on the right-hand corner, bottom, I should say the southeast corner of Option 1, House District 55. Anyway, one of the concerns is that Lakeview is a community of interest, a school district, a chamber of commerce, a county seat, and it should not be divided between House District 55 and House District 60. The House District, as well, if I don't know if we want to cover that, but anyway, you all can look at it. And it divides Lakeview, I should say, between about two-thirds in District 55 and one-third in District 60. So given the population, I think the town is currently about 2,700, roughly, that that extra population could be absorbed. I certainly, living in House District 55, would be delighted to represent the remaining third there of Lakeview, even if that pushed me over. So moving on from the good people of Lakeview, there is in also the option plan number one divides Klamath Falls. The current map between House District 55 and House District 56 moves the line in Klamath County and makes an east-west line so that the entire city of Klamath Falls is represented by one house district. Under option one, 55 and 56 would actually go into neighborhoods in Klamath Falls and divide it. Ironically, it would also put the line, if you go a little bit south, you'll see the Kingsley Field and the airport. If maybe you have to drill in there on the airport ward of Klamath Falls. I currently serve in the Oregon Air National Guard, and I serve at Kingsley Field. I could report for duty in District 56, walk across the tarmac, and stand in District 55. And so there, and it just, given the dynamics and the community of interest of Klamath Falls, again, I would be delighted to represent Klamath Falls. However, it seems like the preferred way is to keep them together, and so choose one way or another. And then finally, in District Option 1, District 55, it divides Bend into basically three districts, or three districts would have parts of Bend. There was considerable testimony at that in Bend that the folks wanted to be one district, and obviously they can't. But two would be, I think, sufficient. And so I would just note that. My criticism of option two is that it divides Crook County. I testified at the hearing that's actually the one thing I didn't want to see happen. But given my stature and influence with option number two, it was of no avail. But one thing I would point out is that in option number two, to divide Crook County, that's one school district. It's one chamber of commerce. My kids would wake up in one district and go to school in another. And given the expanse of the districts out there, we're not sure. I would just say that I think that's a divides a community of interest. As you can see Prineville is divided off from the other part of Crook County, and specifically Powell Butte, where I live. And so there is quite a few response, not only in my household, but the other neighbors said Crook County should be kept together. But again, I would be delighted to represent Redmond and all the people in House District under Option 2. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the effort. I know it's difficult. I'm just raising some concerns, but I appreciate the work all of you have done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Byer.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative, the last three people who've testified has pointed out the problem that we all face in trying to do this. It's the squeezing the balloon syndrome.
Yes, sir.
The problem, particularly when we get into the rural areas, is lots of area and not much population. I'm not sure that you can draw the lines without splitting some of the urban areas in order to get to the 64,000, but it's good to have some other options, another set of eyes.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Byer, I know that's difficult, and East Bend gives some population and the like, but I think the most glaring, if I had to prioritize, the most glaring is Lakeview. Because you're not talking a whole lot of population, and you're talking the largest town. The only you got to go to Ontario to hit a bigger town, pretty much. So I think in that regard, that would be a prioritization.
Good point.
If I had to flag it. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you very much, Representative. We're going to proceed down the list here. The first three people. Can we call three or two? Why don't we call three at a time? David Robinson, Kelly Loveless, and Tom Chamberlain, please. And I'm going to ask that people really stick to 3 minutes. We have a number of people who want to testify. We only have till noon, so please do abide by the three-minute limit.
I also want to make a comment as the witnesses are coming forward that our staff is putting up on the screen whichever option the witness is testifying about, and you can see over on the side it will tell you which option it is. I just want everybody to be clear on what we're seeing on the screen. Our staff is listening to the testimony and putting up the option that the witness is testifying about. If there's any questions about which map we're looking at, please let us know so it can all be clear for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Robinson.
Co-chairs and committee members, good morning. For the record, I'm David Robinson of Aloha in Washington County. I'd like to thank the committee for the work that they did for all of its outreach to everybody to get comments, and that shows in the rigor of the maps that were produced. I'd like to talk specifically about Hillsboro, Aloha, and Century High School areas in Washington County, where, as it stands right now, I think option one shows a better grouping in that. In option one, a significant portion of Aloha is included in House District 30, as it should be. As Washington County continues the discussion on moving unincorporated urbanized areas inside incorporated city limits, areas subject to these discussions should be logically considered as a developing community of interest with the target city. Option one achieves this goal, while option two would divide this developing community by placing it inside House District 34. An alignment that would move Aloha voter registration or representation towards people that are groups more in Cedar Hills area. Option two exacerbates the dilution by putting in that area of Aloha, or excluding that area of Aloha from House District 30, and including the areas of Banks and North Plains and Helvetia, which are outside the urban growth boundaries of that Hillsboro area. So I think option one provides a better solution for the Aloha area. I would also ask the committee to re-examine the area in the border of House District 26, 29, and 30, specifically with the inclusion of Century High School area in House District 26. This area is naturally aligned as a community of interest with suburban Hillsboro and should be included in House District 30 or House District 29. By placing this area in House District 26, this small slice of population in House District 26, the center mass of the population of that district is much farther south in Wilsonville, and will split it from the rest of the group of suburban Hillsboro that it belongs to.
Thank you. Mr. Chamberlain.
Chair Bonamici, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Tom Chamberlain. I'm president of the Oregon AFL-CIO, representing 225,000 working Oregonians. Our membership encompasses every corner of the state and from every sector of the state's economy. The working people represented by our affiliate unions are living examples of the regional nature of Oregon's economy, which we think needs to be considered throughout the redistricting process. When we talk about communities of interest, we need to think broadly, taking into account regional economies and industry sector clusters. Across Oregon, there are regional economic clusters that would be well served by being represented by a single legislator, like the high-tech cluster that extends from the west side of Portland out into Washington County. We also should consider where people work in relationship to where they live. We have many members who work in manufacturing clusters in Clackamas County and commute from southeast Portland. Many of our members also live in Washington County and work in Multnomah County. In other areas of the states, these principles apply, including the diverse regional economies along the coast and in southern Oregon. Within our membership, economic regions just matter more than county and city lines. As our state works toward a real economic recovery, it's important that we enable our congressmen to represent those economic constituents. I would encourage the committee to take into consideration these existing economic and community relationships as you work towards your final map. I have faith in the process and its ability to recognize the unique characteristics of regional economies across Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lovelace? Is it Lovelace or Lovelace?
Lovelace. Thank you. I'm Kelly Lovelace. I live in Lane County. My testimony today is in regards to House District 7, 8, 11, 13, and 14. And I must admit that this is interesting to me, and this is really the first time I've really looked at Section 188.010. And what I'm seeing is we have in Eugene an area that would support two House districts by itself, and we really have one there. Springfield is a House district unto itself, and that works fine. We should have two full districts in Eugene representing the city of Eugene, and then take a third district that is Eugene and the urban boundary outside, the urban area outside of Eugene. That would be representation for the citizens of Eugene and the urban area around Eugene. We really do not need four House districts in the city of Eugene. What we're doing is we're not representing the city, and we're not representing the rural residents of those counties by splitting the city of Eugene with the urban area, with the rural area. My next issue is in the school divisions or school districts down there. School districts are a community of interest to the people that live there. We have split with Plan 1 and 2, Cresswell District and Pleasant Hill District. That shouldn't be happening. We should have school districts that are in the same district as their representative is in. And then my third objection is in House District Plan 1. Last year, I was a candidate for House District 11, and in the House District plan for District 11, I've been drawn out of it in Plan 1. And I don't think that meets the criteria that's set out in Section 188.010. I think that is bending the rules a little too far. So those are my comments, and I would gladly take some questions.
Okay, our work has not inspired people to song. there is some kind of arranged performance happening out in the hallway, so we'll just have to do our best to be heard over the display.
I have a question.
Sure. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. Mr. Lovelace, you said that both Option 1 and Option 2 split Cresswell and Pleasant Hill school districts. Do you mean from each other or split each district?
Split each district. That's not something that should be happening.
Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
thank you all three for coming today. And Mr. Robinson, nice to meet you today. I do represent House District 30. I had a couple questions. I've never been able to figure out what the city lines are for Alloa.
Oh.
can you tell me where is Alloa? What are the natural boundaries?
Co-chairs, Representative Lindsay. I'm not sure exactly what the boundaries of Alloa are because it's not actually a city. It's an unincorporated, urbanized area of Washington County. And as the county and as the state legislature has directed, those areas are to be brought into within the city limits or extended the city limits. The majority of Alloa is targeted to be moved towards Hillsboro with a number of discussions that are going on in that area.
But what are the general boundaries? Give me some streets.
Baseline on the north, 185th on the east, and Corn Pass on the west, and then going south from there. So you've got Beaverton is on the west side of
180. South to Farmington?
It extends, yes, pretty much south to Farmington. The Beaverton has east of 185th, and Hillsboro has west of Cornelius Pass and north of Baseline. And then where it swings around down south. It's really that block of urbanized area that has lacked a group of representation. As the discussions move forward on how to bring that into a city limit so that that area can get city services, because there's not sidewalks, there's in a lot of the communities, the streets aren't getting the attention that they need, that a city government will provide those city services. That area is targeted to be moving towards Hillsboro, not towards Beaverton.
Got it. A couple of follow-ups. One of my and going back to what Representative McLean said on gotta get on the microphone. I hold little power as well because I have a couple complaints about my option twos as well with some of the rural parts, but we're working things out. Hillsboro is divided in my mind three. And actually, going back, maybe Senator Stark could weigh in on Alloa. I'm not sure I'd take Alloa all the way up to Baseline. I would say maybe the TV highway area, but maybe Senator Stark can weigh in on that. Going back to Hillsboro, I see Hillsboro in three separate areas. I see 185th. I do think 185th is the clear, distinct line there. I see the tech area, which would be airport intel area. And I see what I call historical Hillsboro. Wouldn't you agree that 10th Avenue is probably the natural line between historic Hillsboro and technology Hillsboro?
I think that exactly where that boundary falls, I would say that's a general area where that might be would be a true statement, but to put that as a hard boundary, I don't think that I could actually put that as a hard boundary.
But in that area?
In that general area.
And that's the east-west. On the north-south, maybe the Grant area, Grant Street. I agree, but not a hard line, but in that area?
It somewhere along in those areas, it does sound right. Okay. It's, as you know, that a lot of that was farms that had large main houses and then had subdivided areas. So the older areas were still part of that core, what you're calling the older area, the downtown core. But then there are new houses that are built up into that area. So it is kind of a mixed area. I think the newer high-tech areas are pretty clear-cut on exactly where they are. The boundary is—I don't think you could put in a hard boundary. I think it's a—it's kind of a mix or a spectrum.
Thank you. I did get in trouble for calling it Old Hillsboro, though. It should be historic.
So I think we need to move on. But Representative Cameron and then Senator Starr did have questions. So if we could try and keep it concise, I want to get on to the next panel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the allowing me to ask a question, Mr. Chamberlain. This one's directed at you. You said the importance, I heard in your testimony, of keeping communities of interest as to where I work and where I live connected up. And it probably works well in House or Senate districts on a statewide basis, but we talk about congressional districts. And I'm just thinking of Tillamook as a city on the coast here. Do you see Tillamook trying to stay connected up on a congressional basis with other cities on the coast? Is that probably the top priority you would see?
I really can't speak to that. I really don't know.
Okay. Then how about if it was connected up to cities where people would work? For example, the difference between where Tillamook is it have more in common with the people in Portland or with the people in Salem?
Tillamook?
Yeah.
I really can't answer that. I was talking generality about economic clusters and how they work, and today where workers go to work, where they go where they can find a job, and they find housing where they can afford to find housing. In the Portland metropolitan area, that tends to be west versus east side of the river. There's a lot of overlap, and what we're seeing is people trying to work, find housing as close to their work as they can afford.
Okay. So it can't relate to Tillamook being a community of interest with Portland or with Salem as far as workers go. Can we relate to, or could you relate to?
I don't know many workers who live in Portland and work in Tillamook, or workers who live in Salem and work in Tillamook.
So then how would you make that decision when you're dividing up a coastal community?
With all due respect, Senator Bonamici, Representative Cameron, that's your job.
Okay. Follow up, if I may.
Follow up.
Okay. Well, we're supposed to listen to what communities of interest, and you did testify about what a community of interest is from where people work.
My testimony had to do with communities of interest as they relate to economic clusters and where people live. It wasn't specific to Tillamook versus Salem or Tillamook versus Portland.
Great. Another follow up, if I may.
Sure.
Would you consider the Willamette Valley an agricultural economic cluster of workers and interest?
Yes, but the Willamette Valley is a large piece of real estate. So, again, how that's divided up is in your hands.
Okay, so you would be okay with us dividing that up into a congressional district that maybe
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, Representative Cameron, let's see what you come up with, and we can evaluate it then.
Well, it's there now. I mean, there's two congressional maps
up
there.
We support.
But let's have a question and then an answer.
Maybe if you could look at the two congressional maps that are up there and tell me if you see any kind of economic interest that is specifically Senate District 5.
Are we looking at option 3?
Congressional District 5.
I assume we're comparing option 2 with the option 3, Representative. Is that correct?
Yeah, the two different options. Option 2 and option 3.
Well, that's option 1.
Options to choose from.
You're looking at currently option 1.
Yeah, the third option.
Please put option. Option 3 is really the relevant point of comparison at this point.
I don't think we can.
Do we not have it?
It's not. I have option 3. We've got a copy of the map on there that they have.
We don't have option 3 up there.
It's not on the website.
It's on the website. There's a link on the website.
Well, Mr. Chamberlain, have you seen option 3?
I have seen option 3.
So perhaps the question, if I may, is as between option 3, released a couple of days ago, and option 2, do you have opinions about which of those options?
We support option 3.
And why is that?
Because of community interest and how Clackamas County is. Is that option 3?
Yeah, that's three.
What you have with three, option 3 as it relates to the Congressional District 5, which I live in, you have parts of the metropolitan area, such as Southeast Portland, who typically work in Clackamas County in one district. You have the West Hills of Portland in that district. It just matches up to our way of thinking better. The coastal district, historically, that's been in CD5. I just don't know what other district you'd put that in, since Washington County had to shrink and CD5 had to increase.
Follow up, if I may, Mr. Chair. So as long as those communities of interest into the north of what I heard you say stay together, you would not object to keeping other communities of interest in the southern part of Congressional District 5? There's no connection with the coast with that economic interest.
I think there is connection. Chairman Bondamici, Representative Cameron, you do have areas of interest in CD5 from timber communities where you have folks who are loggers in Estacada working in the Tillamook region when logging occurs. I think there is economic interest in that district.
Estacada to Tillamook.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Senator Starr.
Thank you. This is for Mr. Robinson. Thank you for being here. I appreciate your testimony. To a large degree, I agree. I agree with you specifically as it relates to Century High School. I think that's an area of concern, quite honestly, maybe with both maps. But as you look at the Aloha piece, what would you think about using the school district boundary as opposed to trying to divine one, because the school district boundary, Hillsborough School District, goes somewhere in the neighborhood of 198th, which takes in, you know, a large portion of what would be Aloha. Then the other thing I'd like you to think about as you contemplate your answer is the proposed expansion of the urban growth boundary and the South Hillsborough development that's going to happen as the economy recovers, likely within the next 10-year time frame, potentially up to more than 10,000 new residents. So school district as a boundary, and then the South Hillsborough expansion.
Co-chairs, Senator Starr, I think those are some viable ways to look at it. I think maybe a starting point of what exactly the boundary should be is Hillsborough and Beaverton have some idea of where that dividing point should be when Aloha is finally put into a city limit. They've got an idea of that. Since it is a touchy subject, I think people are trying to try and push that discussion out as far as possible, since it is a touchy subject. But it is built into the South Hillsborough urban growth boundary expansion. I could see it being tied to the school districts. I think that is as an interim step, that being tied to the school districts is a good idea. The school district, I think, does expand, or Hillsborough School District does extend out to 198th, but really that is still a little bit all the way out to 185th is really more of that group of cluster of houses together. So I would keep the dividing point of option one as being 185th and TV Highway. And if there was for population reasons, had to be a break point that you couldn't extend it south of TV Highway to include all the way out down to Farmington, the TV Highway and 185th probably is the right cluster to pull that together.
Just to follow up, I think I've been in this process long enough to see a lot, and I think that it's going to be a very, 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 very long time before you ever see Aloha mm-hmm. as either part of Hillsborough or part of Beaverton. It's just somebody's dream that likely will continue to be a dream.
Okay,
thank
you to the panel. Thank you very much. We're not going to have the ability to have quite as much back and forth with every panel as we just did if we're going to get done. So I'm going to start using the three-minute clock, and we'll ask members to be very limited and targeted in their questions so we can try and get through the list that we have. I think we'll be able to finish by around noon, and if we need to, I'll hold it open longer so we can get through everybody. The next panel is Representative Boone, Mark Labhart, and Barbara Taylor, please.
I'm Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair. Deborah Boone, House District 32, for the record. I have testified before you before. You have a map of what, in my perfect world, my district would be. I am joined by two constituents who've driven over from South Tillamook County today, and they will, and I'm going to cede my time to Commissioner Labhart, and hopefully you'll do the honors of letting us have our say, too. Thank you.
Thank you, co-chairs. For the record, Mark Labhart, and I have the privilege of being one of the Tillamook County commissioners. Commissioner Tim Josie could not be here this morning. He wished he was. He's on the board of the National Association of Counties, and they had a board meeting today, but he would surely be here. I'm speaking for all three county commissioners, and I will try to do this in 6 minutes. It is with a great deal of disappointment that the Tillamook County Board of Commissioners goes on record in not supporting an extremely partisan option being proposed for redistricting Oregon. President Bush was right in his book when he said redistricting is what has made this country so partisan and has resulted in such an acrimonious Congress. It appears that this is true for the Oregon legislature as it moves through its process of redistricting. As the Oregonian said it so well in his editorial on May 17th, quote, it's back to the drawing board, unquote. You took one of the communities of interest, that being the Tillamook County, and gutted it right down the middle in what appears to be a blatant attempt to keep Senator Verger's district heavily weighted to Democratic. With one proposal, it moves half of Tillamook County into Senator Verger's districts, which means she would drive 5 hours to a meeting in Oceanside, Neatarts, or Pacific City. Clearly, this is a political maneuver and going on here. I'm not sure there is another West Side senator that now has to drive 5 hours to a meeting in their district. The Republicans are no better, and it appears leadership and committee members have thrown the baby out with the bathwater in their zealous goals to gain positional advantage that is so blatant that the Oregonian calls the map is absurd, unquote, and in one place a non-starter, in another place in their May 17th editorial. Citizens, I believe, are fed up, and they see through this. Maybe that's why the Tillamook County voters voted by a 76% margin to make our commissioner positions nonpartisan a few years ago. Voters are sick and tired of the partisanship that is in the name of a better Oregon. History has shown that the legislature has not got redistricting right since the end of World War II. You would think that the committee would say, now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to think about what's best for Oregon. We all love and not position the parties for their best advantage for a particular party or how I can take advantage of another party. Yes, there is a high probability that this will go to the Secretary of State and maybe even to the courts, and maybe that's what you wish to happen all along. Criteria 1D says, quote, do not divide communities of interest. I want to specifically talk to that. You have clearly done so in Tillamook County. You split out 6,000 of our residents in South County that are TCCA, Tillamook County Creamery Association dairy farmers. They're commercial fishermen. They're part of the Community College Service District. They're ag interests that are closely related to OSU and its agricultural interests. They're paying bonds on a countywide jail, a countywide hospital district, a countywide ambulance service district, a countywide library system, a countywide PUD service area. Our countywide fishermen advisory committee, our state and county transportation links that are now cut in half.
Commissioner, we do have the remainder of your testimony in writing. It's part of the record. I hate to do this, but I'm going to ask you to close.
I'm giving my time.
Well, if you want to read your final couple paragraphs, you can, but it's not necessary because we have it in the record.
Okay.
And so maybe if we stop, then we can take a couple questions for you.
Okay. I'm going to drive 4 hours today for 3 minutes of testimony, and I would think the elected official may have, but that's...
Well, perhaps your time is better spent in a dialogue with some members who may have questions.
Okay, I'll just read the last paragraph, Mr. Chair. Bottom line, keep House District 32 all in Tillamook County. Keep Senate District 16 all in Tillamook County. Keep Congressional District 5 all in Tillamook County. Change for the sake of political expedience and posturing is not to be tolerated. You said you are open to negotiations on a compromise plan. I truly hope that you mean that. I close with a quote from the Oregonian. We keep hearing that this is the legislature leadership that is bipartisan and in the spirit of doing what's right for our constitutional duty. I hope you show us that's right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Barbara Bell Taylor. I reside at 34680 Bruton Road in Pacific City. My family's owned property since my grandfather purchased it in the late 30s as a second home, in reality, a fishing cabin. I've rebuilt and have lived there full-time for almost 20 years. I am presently the principal broker with a real estate firm in Pacific City and president of the Tillamook County Board of Realtors. I'm here today to strongly oppose the proposed splitting of Tillamook County for the purposes of redistricting state, Senate, and House districts. ORS 188.010 statutory criteria directs your committee to utilize existing geographical and political boundaries and not to divide communities of common interest. Both these directives are patently violated. The proposal to join the southern portion of Tillamook County to Senate District 5 will create a district that is 175 miles long, linked by Highway 101. This is not a trip down I-5 or 84 or even Highway 97, but a very winding two-lane road with more than an occasional precipitous drop to the ocean. South Tillamook County is primarily a dairy and tourist-based economy with the possibility of increased logging in the Siuslaw National Forest. The only similarity with any community in Senate 10 is perhaps Pacific City has a very small commercial fishing fleet, the Pacific City Dories. We of South County will have even less influence in the new district than we have now. We may be quite far from the center of the 16th District, Astoria, but considerably closer than Yahats or Florence. It's actually about Sea Lion Caves, the center of Senate District 5. And it is necessary to add to the present boundaries, to make it a much more cohesive district by moving east. We share a river, the Nisteca, with McMinnville. The river runs through most of the territory, including the split, but is used as a major supplier of water to the city of McMinnville. The heavily forested section does not stop at the county border, but extends into Washington, Yamhill, and Polk counties. Beyond the forest to the east, there is similar agricultural land. It also gives the appearance of solidarity to stay within one area code. Logistically, the division makes our overworked commissioner's job more difficult as it is necessary to work with more than one set of state legislators. I find this is just a very poor idea for a small, economically depressed section of the state. The entire area is unincorporated, and this plan will really set it at sea, disconnected from any cohesive set of political representation. In the absence of the adoption of my idea of extending it to the eastward, I would be happy to have the map Representative Boone's presented on Tuesday adopted. Please don't divide Tillamook County.
Okay, thank you both. And Senator Bonamici has a question.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not so much a question, but a point to make. And I appreciate your testimony, and I really do appreciate that you drove over here, and I remember hearing from you at the coast as well. A couple times, Commissioner, in your testimony, you talk about a senator having to drive 5 hours to a meeting in the district. And one of the reasons that the Oregon statute says that we're not supposed to consider where people live is because a redistricting plan is for 10 years. And I don't want this to be about Senator Verger or Representative Boone or anything, but what we're supposed to be looking at is, as you know, not dividing communities of interest, and we definitely understand your point about Tillamook County, but 10 years from now, it may be somebody representing that district who lives across the street from you or who lives in Tillamook. And so when we're looking at what the policy is to get the best plan for the rest of the decade, for 10 years, we don't take into consideration that somebody might have to drive, whoever's representing the district now might have to drive a long ways, because that's not what the plan is supposed to be about. So, and I'm not making this about Senator Verger or Representative Boone, but if one of these plans is adopted, it could be that somebody is representing it who's nearby. And so the people in another part of the district might say, well, We have somebody living near us now, but they're on the other side of the district now. So you understand the challenge that people seem to think that, well, the current representative or senator who's representing me now would have to drive a long way, but 8-9 years from now, that might not be the case. So that's one of the reasons why we're not supposed to consider where people live.
I would just also make a quick observation that, you know, I think everybody who's been working on this believes that the coast is a vital region of the state for which we need to ensure adequate representation. And yet we are dealing with demographic changes in which the coast is underpopulated compared to the state as a whole, which means some of these districts have to change form. And there's not an easy way to do it. And it's notable that both plans, both alternatives that are out there, would divide Tillamook County. Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you. I sincerely appreciate you driving so far to be here today. That's an amazing task to do, and so thank you for coming. I do want to give even the room a website, publicmapping.org. And I appreciate the frustration that has been expressed, and we are definitely I've got detailed notes here. I do invite all of you to go to that website, though, and try to draw a map yourself. And I hope that everyone can acknowledge that even for one person to do this alone, it is an incredibly difficult thing to do. That's the first point. Second point is Commissioner, you testified to keep Tillamook in Congressional District 5. The current district, Congressional District 5, has Tillamook separated from Seaside, Cannon Beach, Astoria, Warrenton. Option 3, if I remember correctly, I don't see it up there, has Tillamook divided from Warrenton, Astoria, Seaside, Gearhart. Option 2 has all of those coastal communities together, and the dividing line between Congressional District 1 and Congressional District 4 on option 2 is right at pretty much at the Tillamook border. Would you agree that the northern coastal towns at the Tillamook County, that north, should be in one congressional district?
Co-chairs, Representative Lindley, we support option 3. I think you did a very good job of a compromise in option 3.
Thank you. You didn't answer my question, though. My question is, do you think that those northern coastal cities should be in one congressional district, or do you believe that they should be divided right there between Congressional District 1 and Congressional District 5?
I agree with that.
Then my second statement.
Yes, sir.
And follow-up. Why is that? Why not keep them in one congressional district to keep them together?
Yes, co-chairs, Representative Lindsay, history has shown when Congressman Hooley was there, we felt that we were very well represented by that, and as a result of the transition to Congressman Schrader, we feel very good represented. I've had considerable discussions with Congressman Schrader. He does want to represent the coast. He does want to represent. He does a very good job of representing Tillamook County. I believe he does a very good job of representing Lincoln County also. Some of the earlier testimony talked about the transition into the valley. In a congressional district, you have to, of course, make it bigger. And so we support that. And I think this committee and your work with staff, you did a very good job in putting together the compromise. I think that is fairly good, and we support number 3.
I just want to make a statement for the record, so there's no confusion. Option 3 does not represent a compromise among the members.
Sorry.
It's an alternative plan put forward by the authors of option 1. So I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
I appreciate your comments, and thank you both for coming all this way. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but we have a long list of folks. I'm going to call Cliff Girard, Barry Bushu, and Andy Magi. Mr. Girard.
Good morning. Co-Chair Garrett and Lindsay and committee members, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. My name is Cliff Girard. I was born and raised in Salem and have spent most of my adult life here in Salem. I've lived in West Salem for the past 10 years, and through the years, West Salem has always been viewed as a single community of interest. And I'm just here today to reaffirm that it should remain a single district and not be split, as is being suggested. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bashu?
Thank you, Co-Chairs Garrett and Lindsay and Senator Bonamici. Appreciate the opportunity to address the committee. First of all, I appreciated the Senator Bonamici's comments about communities of interest, and I would like to address that, but I would suggest that while it's probably appropriate to include communities of interest from differing perspectives, it should not, I hope, preclude removing existing communities of interest from the maps. And I see that happening in House District 52, House District 51, and Senate District 26. I was thrilled with the opportunity to come and talk with parts of this committee when they were in Gresham. I was really optimistic about the opportunity to see so many legislators in a transparent process. I have to say, after seeing the districts and some of the proposals, that my optimism is rapidly waning and cynicism is taking its place. However, that doesn't mean that you haven't got a tremendous task in front of you, and it's a large job, a hard job. I'm glad you're doing it. I'm not. But I do represent myself as a farmer and a member of District 52. I'm also the president of the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I would ask for 3 minutes for each of those, but I'm sure the chair will be thrilled with that, so I won't. But I will say,
you can call me later if you want.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I will say that I am very concerned. We have had an excellent district in both 51, 52, and I speak personally in Senate District 26. I understand there's been some minor population change, but demographics have not changed, and I represent 8,000 working farm families and another 50-some thousand supporting members, and rural Oregonians are vastly underrepresented. Represented both in congressional districts and in many of these House and Senate districts. I would hope that we don't do something like move Senate District 26 in a finger quarter that goes all the way to Wilsonville. It has nothing in common with Hood River, nothing in common with Sandy, nothing in common with Boring. The makeup of 51 and 52 currently serve our rural Oregonian needs. As far as the congressional districts are concerned, I would hope that you do not mess with the district, the existing district of Congressman Greg Walden. He is the one shining star of rural Oregonians in this state. That does not denigrate the rest of the congressional district, districts or representatives, but that is one area that clearly is well served. Also, I want to point out that in the Portland area, 3/5 of our congressional delegation have pieces of Portland, which sadly underrepresents the remaining 85% of the state. I would hope clearly that this body would take Portland as an individual congressional district, fill out the $500,000 to $700,000, give it to Congressman Earl Blumenauer, and let the rest of Oregonians have a much better representation than they clearly have.
Mr. Magi?
Yeah, Co-Chair Garrett, Co-Chair Lindsay, Chair Bonamici, members of the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting, I want to thank you very much for your time today and the work that you've already done and will continue to do on this very important issue. My name is Andy Magi. I am the political director of the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. I'm also a resident of Multnomah County. I'm specifically here today to respond to the redistricting plans that have been proposed by the members of this committee, in particular the biggest problem we see with Option 2, and that's the congressional map that squeezes Multnomah County into one congressional district. There is no reason to put all of Multnomah County into one district. In fact, it ignores the correlationship the counties and communities across the Portland metro area share. From a cultural, economic, community perspective, Multnomah County's lines are largely arbitrary. The multi-county metro region, made up of Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas County, are connected by transportation links, economic ties, and even shares a regional government. The drawing of the congressional school district lines in this region should take these parameters into account, not simply run along the existing county lines. As an example, in the metro area, we have a system of interrelated parks, trails, bike paths, and nature preserves called the Intertwine. Multnomah County residents are the largest user group of the Intertwine system, which stretches throughout the region and even into Vancouver, Washington. And despite whatever unquenchable desire you might have to draw district boundaries in Washington, I am not suggesting that you go that far. However, it does bring us across the entire region, and also thanks to our unique regional government system, we also have an urban growth boundary that serves as a formal guiding boundary between urban and rural communities. From an environmental perspective, the issues and threats facing our region are also not constrained by county lines. They affect everyone everywhere. Likewise, the environmental protections we have affect the entire region, not just individual counties. Many of these protections have been developed and adopted not by county or municipal governments, but by the region as a whole. I certainly hope that you'll take these things into consideration as you move forward and draw district boundaries that reflect the common and regional interests we share.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. Co-Chair Lindsay has a question.
Thank you. Mr. Magi, thanks for coming here today, and thank you as well, the other two of you, for coming today. Mr. Magi, could actually, that map right there, that is Congressional Option 2.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, you just testified that Metro should remain, that the Portland Metro is one area, and that all those congressional districts come together in Portland Metro because of numbers. My question is that Congressional District 3, Congressional District 1, Congressional District 5 on Option 2 come together right there, right in the smack middle, which is right around the I-5 217 area. That's where they converge, which if you zoom out and look at Portland Metro whole, they converge essentially right smack dab in the middle of Portland Metro. Why not have them converge, the three congressional districts, why not have them converge in the middle of Portland Metro as opposed to converging in the city of Portland, which, in my opinion, is northeast portion of Portland Metro? Because merging there would essentially fulfill all your concerns there, right?
Well, I don't know if it would fulfill all the concerns that I spoke to, and certainly, you know, I'm not absolutely familiar with the map, but I think, you know, we want to see maps that represent regional goals and ideals, not just county boundaries. And so I can't speak specifically to where the best place to draw that is, and as others have testified today, that is ultimately in your hands, Chair Lindsay.
And quick follow-up. I think we all agree that the three congressional districts will have to converge somewhere in the Portland metro area. Is it your testimony that it's better for them to converge in the city of Portland, and if so, why?
That is not my testimony.
Okay. Okay. Further questions? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, all of you, for your testimony today. My question is it Mr. Magi?
Magi.
Magi. We've heard testimony to two previous witnesses that said keep. In fact, we had a representative who was really upset because his county was being divided, Crook County. We just heard people who drove 4 hours saying keep our county whole, Tillamook County. Why wouldn't Multnomah County follow along the same general rule?
Again, I believe that given the relationships that we have, the time that we've spent working on regional issues with other counties, and I'm certainly not suggesting other counties haven't done the same. We've invested in infrastructure together and economic partnerships together, and certainly we have working relationships that preserving them would be beneficial to the residents.
So follow up, if I may. So where those three districts come together on that map is part of that region, correct, that you're working together with? So those regions, yeah, are represented by three different congressional districts, that region?
Yeah, that region there is clearly represented by three different congressional districts.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, panel. We'll move on to the next group. Representative Tootie Smith, Lori Hine, I think it's Hine, and Don Horvath. Sorry if I missed that.
You missed it, but it's okay.
Okay.
Still coming forward.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, chairs, members of the committee, Tootie Smith. On April 9th, I testified at this hearing at Clackamas Community College, and I was very pleased with the amount of people that showed up. However, the much evidence given in support of ORS 181 seems to be ignored by the Oregon legislature. I don't like any of your plans put forward because one tenet of the statute states no district shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring any political party, incumbent legislator, or person. And after viewing the plan put forth, many incumbent legislators were drawn out of their districts totally or into districts challenging one another. To me, that seems an attempt at favoring elections while ignoring geographic boundaries of communities of interest. I live in Clackamas County. Clackamas County is probably one of the battlegrounds in this state over redistricting. None of the maps put forward in Clackamas County, I think, view communities of common interest. Clackamas County has many different communities of common interest, and I agree with Senator Bonamici when she says that. When you can do so, put them together. What I want to say is something that maybe you had not heard before, and that is I was in the legislature the last time this was done, and it was a horrid experience and not one that I look fondly on. And I know what you're going through. And as a legislator, you start battling for your own district regardless of what may be good for the people in your district. I think that a grassroots, nonpartisan citizen commission should be appointed to do this work. Many other states have done so. I know as legislators you are all leaders. You all think of yourself as leaders, but arriving at a plan may not be something that you're going to be able to do. Don't punt to the Secretary of State the work that you're mandated to do by the Constitution of the State of Oregon. This is a huge task. It oftentimes results with the party in power or the incumbent in power with an unfair amount of leverage. This task allows too much temptation for those in power, regardless of your party affiliation, to try to outdo the other person. So I suggest that in your back pocket you have a piece of legislation that does that. And be fair with the citizens of the state of Oregon. And let them look at districts, not so much from a political point of view, but from economies, as previously mentioned, geographic boundaries in districts, and communities of common interest. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Hine?
Yes, my name is Lori Hine. I live in House District 38. And I was pleased to see the difference between the first and second proposal. I think, if I was reading the map correctly, it basically removes the Multnomah County portion of District 38 from District 38, which is the second version, I think. Yes. And I think this is a better plan because the people in Multnomah County don't go to school with the rest of House District 38, and I feel that school districts are a really good basis for redistricting. The other thing, most of the things that people have talked about were kind of covered what I wanted to say, but I did want to mention that my family has property on the coast, both in Astoria and Gold Beach area. They're far apart, but the mindset of the people who live on the coast is a coastal mindset, and they are a community of interest. I personally, I don't know whether anybody else agrees, but I think that the coastline should be all one district, and I really don't care how far you guys have to drive to go to a meeting. So the second proposed is better than the first one, in my opinion, but it's not perfect. I think that what's his name, the farm guy, was right about District Number 3, that that should be made larger in the metropolitan area and leave a Troutdale and those areas out of Congressional District 3. They should be over in Congressional District 2 as a second proposal. And that's pretty much all that I haven't already testified about. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Let me try again. Mr. Hormuth?
Hormuth.
Hormuth.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Mrs. Co-Chairs, Mr. and Madam Co-Chair, or Mr. and Madam Chair, Co-Chairs, whatever. I'm surrounded by chairs. My name is Don Hormuth. I live at 978 Kingwood Drive Northwest in West Salem. I don't envy you your task. When I sat as a member of the State Senate back in North Dakota years back, I am acutely aware of the partisan nature of this discussion. As a currently registered non-affiliated voter, I simply no longer share it. I now have the honor of serving as the co-chair. I'm also a co-chair of the West Salem Neighborhood Association, in which I have lived since 1993. And which I've been active for about the last dozen years, serving now in my second year as co-chair of that organization. The plan to divide West Salem makes no rational sense if you truly believe in the idea of community of interest. It is not the case that the apartment dwellers over by Wallace Marine Park have any community of interest, none whatsoever, with those residents who live out beyond Gibson Road. There still isn't one. It is also not the case that those who live down in the historic Edgewater District, formerly and unfortunately known as Felony Flats, to our great dismay, does not have a community of interest with those people who live out in the area of Michigan Lane. We are one community. We have one neighborhood association. We are 25% to 30% of the population of the entire city of Salem, and our one neighborhood association covers that with some real effort and real effectiveness, where the rest of the city of Salem has 18 separate neighborhood associations. We know who we are. We know what we do. We know exactly what we're all about. We are a community of interest. We don't wish to be split up. We will be most unhappy if you do that. So please, our request is, don't. It's not rocket science, and it is a no-brainer. Thank you.
Actually, I'm starting to think maybe this is rocket science. But I appreciate your testimony. You make great points, and we'll promise to take a fresh look at it.
Thank you.
Questions for the panel? All right. Thank you, all three of you. Okay, Tracy Zitzelberger and Dara Wasserman, please.
Sure, I can start. Good morning, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Tracy Zitzelberger, and I am a resident of Southwest Portland in Burlingame, represented by Representative Garrett. And I'm here to testify today about concerns with the congressional redistricting plan, specifically option 2, in that it clusters Multnomah County into one district. And I'm very concerned about this because that's not how we perceive ourselves in the greater Portland area. We're very much more concerned in terms of our identity with our neighborhoods, and the river is a huge dividing factor in the county for us. I do aging and Alzheimer's research at OHSU, and we have a wide variety of research volunteers in our studies across the Portland metro area. And interestingly enough, we do memory testing with them, and we ask them, what county do you live in? And I always have to look it up before I leave because I never know. The county lines just really don't matter to us. It's really more a matter of where our regional interests are and where our economic interests are. The reminder of Senator Bonamici earlier in terms of districts not needing to include one single community of interest is relevant in that I think districts can include more than one community of interest. I have much more in common as a Southwest Portlander with Beaverton and West, you know, Portland suburbs than I do with Troutdale and Gresham and that area of things. We very much consider our identity, I think, around the river in particular. So I just very much want to be communicating that option two really doesn't reflect our identities in the Portland metro area.
Great, thank
That's
you.
Kind of it. Short and sweet.
All right.
Thanks. Good morning, co-chairs. I think it's still morning. My name is Dara Wasserman, and I also live in Southwest Portland. I live in the Garden Home neighborhood, and I live in unincorporated Washington County. The Garden Home neighborhood splits between Washington and Multnomah County, so some of my neighbors live in Multnomah County. And, in fact, the intersection at Garden Home, which is Olson Road and Garden Home Road, two corners of the intersection are in Multnomah County, and two corners of the intersection are in Washington County, and I never know which ones are which. But I just wanted to say that I think splitting along county lines just doesn't make sense. We, in Garden Home, have a cohesive neighborhood. I belong to the CPO 3, which is Citizen Participation Organization 3, which is Garden Home in Raleigh Hills. Raleigh Hills, I think, is probably primarily Multnomah County. And then I also belong to the Garden Home Crossing Committee, which is a neighborhood beautification committee. And I know they've done work with both Washington County, Multnomah County, Portland, and Beaverton in terms of funding and road plans and things of that nature as the roads from those counties cross in the neighborhood as well. So I really don't think it makes a lot of sense, especially if you want to consider unified neighborhoods and neighborhoods of interest to split up Garden Home into more than one district. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions from committee? Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you. And maybe either one of you could answer this. I heard earlier testimony from people to make sure we try to consider where people live and work as a community of interest to keep them in the same district.
Mm-hmm.
Testimony to say the river is a dividing line, and I'm just thinking the time I spend in Portland, I can walk across the river, I can ride a bike across the river, I can take Max across the river. It really isn't a dividing line from stopping me going back and forth. And Would you say that there's people who live in Northwest Portland who actually live in and work in Northwest Portland but work downtown?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. But I think our identities in terms of where we live, we very much think of ourselves as Eastsiders and Westsiders. We have common interests, but
okay, good. That's a great question. Then is the community of interest defined as to where we live?
Well, I think
defined as to where we live and work.
I think it's complicated.
Or is it defined by where we work?
I think it can be both. I mean, the complexity of the task that you have is not lost on me. This is hard stuff to figure out, and there are examples of people in lots of those different kinds of categories. One of the things that really concerns me about the plans is that option two would change the representation for 420,000. Oregonians, whereas option three changes only for 90,000. And I think that it concerns me to change so dramatically from where we are right now.
Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony today. And you just testified that your concern is that it might change up to 400,000 people that are represented.
That's my understanding.
Is that prohibited by statute in any way?
No.
Okay. And follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Dara.
Dara, thank you for being here today. There's congressional option two and congressional option three. Both of those are right on the, go right through Garden Home, the exact same line. And so I just want to put that on the record. But my question is to you specifically is, and this is an intriguing question. I think we all agree that Portland Metro needs to have three congressional districts converging. And my question is, why at Portland, the city of Portland, and why not somewhere else in Portland Metro? And so my question is where do you believe that the three congressional districts should merge in Portland Metro?
or converge?
That's a great question, and if I can get together with you guys, maybe we can all figure that out. I don't have a good answer. It's hard. I know we're all here unhappy with the options that we've been presented and not always able to present you with additional options, and I don't really have an answer to that question.
Go ahead.
I think option three is more representative of where that split should happen.
And why is that?
Just in terms of thinking about, you know, among my groups of friends and my coworkers and how we consider ourselves conceptually within the Portland metro area, it seems like it's more reflective of where our communities of interest fall, just with respect to how we view ourselves in the Portland area. It's a kind of ambiguous answer. Apologies, but
Mr. Chair.
We have everybody wants to talk. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Representative Esquivel, and then Senator Starr, and then Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that this is a human nature trait, because I live in a community that's split by a freeway. It's East Medford, West Medford. But you know something? When I'm in the state of Oregon, someone asks me where I'm from, I don't say I'm from East Medford or West Medford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Medford. Then when I leave the state of Oregon, I don't say I'm specifically from Medford. I'm from Oregon. When I leave the United States, then I'm an American. So I think it's the cutting of what we actually are. Actually, what we are is our neighborhood.
It doesn't make any difference.
That's what we are, mm-hmm. which is part of a bigger community in its whole. It doesn't matter how you want to slice and dice it. Portland's Portland. It's Portland. It's East Portland, North Portland, South Portland, whatever. It's still Portland, just like Medford, only Medford's a smaller scale. But East and West Medford's a big dividing line. Evidently, that's the same true in Portland. But you know something? Medford's still Medford.
It's true, but for the last 40 years, the Portland metro area has been divided into East and West components, and I think that's served us well.
Senator Starr.
So I appreciate the testimony, and you know, we can continue to have this dialogue and chat. And, you know, it's kind of fun. You know, I live in Hillsborough, Western Washington County. You know, the thought about Portland and what we should do with Portland is interesting to me. You're clearly talking about downtown Portland to the Portland West Hills to, parts of Tigard perhaps, Garden Home, Raleigh Hills, perhaps even Forest Heights and those areas. You know, having a lot in common. And is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes and no. I mean, and that's the challenge, is that what is a community of interest and how do you define it? But I think I have more in common with Western, greater suburb kinds of regions of Portland than I do with Far Eastern. As a Southwest Portlander, if that makes sense.
Well, and for me, it's sort of the opposite, because I live in unincorporated Washington County on the other side, you know, right up against Portland. So I have a Portland address, I'm in the Beaverton School District, and I have a Tigard zip code. And it's a little confusing, but I'm a Portlander. When people ask me where I'm from, I tell them I'm from Portland, and that's where I live. But I'm not in Multnomah County.
I think that it would make fantastic sense to draw the 3rd Congressional District coming west, say, to another divider, 217, and put everybody together, and that would solve this problem.
Good luck with that.
Let's make it work.
Are there other questions on this panel? I wanted to mention, is it Dara?
Dara, yeah.
That I personally am in the same situation. I live in unincorporated Washington County in the Beaverton School District with a Portland mailing address and a Portland zip code. So just...
You know what that's
I appreciate
like.
It.
It's
what you're identity. Saying. If there are no further questions, we're going to move on to the next panel, which is Maeve Connor, Shipla Trivedi, and Claire Bedis. And I hope I got your names correct. I'm sorry if I didn't. And if you'll please start by saying your name for the record and then giving your testimony.
Thank you. Hi, co-chairs. I'm Maeve Connor.
Do you want to go ahead and give your testimony, and then we'll get to the others? And
all right, so I'm just here today to voice my concerns about option 2 for congressional districts. It's a really dramatic departure from how we've defined the Portland area in the past. I live in Multnomah County on the east side, but as an east sider, I've always considered parts of Clackamas County definitely part of my community. I really don't think that county lines are particularly significant in the Portland area, specifically because we have the Metro Council, which governs the Portland metro area. I'm merely aware of when I cross county lines, honestly. I'm not, like, in my day-to-day life, I'm not aware of where Clackamas County ends or Multnomah County begins. I'm on the west side. I don't know, like, obviously, as we just talked about, like, the lines between Washington and Multnomah are really complicated, and I don't think that's how people see their communities in the Portland area. We see it as the Portland metro area divided by the Willamette River. We see ourselves as east siders and west siders, and so I just really don't think that making the congressional district the line of Multnomah County makes any sense to how people actually live. And that's it.
I'm Shilpa Trivedi, and I just want to kind of second what Maeve said, that I have some serious concerns with option two. I moved out to Portland when I was 18, and I very clearly learned, I'm from Multnomah County, and I very clearly learned the lines as divided by the river, and I see those as the lines and less as the county, as option two divides it, basically.
Thank you, co-chairs. I appreciate your time and attention. My name is Claire Bedis, for the record, and I'm just going to sort of reiterate what my panel members have already stated, that I have some concerns with option two because of the way it's dividing based on county lines. As has been stated, from sort of a cultural and economic and regional standpoint, drawing boundaries based on these county lines just doesn't make sense with the way people live in their daily lives. I'm a student at Lewis and Clark College in Multnomah County, so in Southwest, and I really do feel that there is a divide based on the river, as has been stated, and you know, it's just, I'm not aware of county lines or when I'm crossing them, and so drawing boundaries based on those lines doesn't necessarily seem logical based on day-to-day life.
Thank you very much. Questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're off the hook easy. Sherry Harris and Katie Riley, please.
Good morning, Co-Chair Garrett and members of the committee. My name is Cherry Harris. I am a citizen of Clackamas County and identify myself with Oregon City, frankly, because my back property line is an Oregon City park. And I actually live in a small little island within the middle of Oregon City, but I'm not an Oregon City resident. I actually am here this morning in support of option one for the House District 40. Seems to make a lot of sense to me. I live in, as I say, unincorporated Clackamas County, just outside of Oregon City. I work in Gladstone. That definitely, to me, is a common community of interest. That plan just for that area seems to make a whole lot of sense to me. So that's it.
Okay. Katie?
Senator Bonamici, co-chairs Garrett and Lindsay, and panel members. I live in Hillsboro, and I want to talk today about...
Need your name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Katie Riley. I'm sorry. And I want to talk about the redistricting plans, both redistricting plans 1 and 2. And currently, I live in House District 29. And under both redistricting plans, Forest Grove to the west is carved up. In Plan 1, it's carved into half, and in Plan 2, it's carved into thirds. And that... area, that city, is actually a real community of interest. It's a small city, and I really believe it should be kept together as a community of interest. And people in Forest Grove identify with being members of Forest Grove. In addition, under the redistricting plans, the options are also to have, I believe it's on option two, it's to have the eastern part of the district be pushed out north so that it includes agricultural area as well as the technical area of Hillsborough. And those two areas really do not have that much in common. And I believe that area should be taken off. Now, obviously, if you went west through all of Forest Grove, and because of the needs of the population boundaries that you have to consider, you would have to also then go west with the eastern boundary of 29. And that's, you do need to split up Hillsborough in some way because it's so large and because of the population there. But it seems to make more sense to go west rather than to go east. And I appreciate your attention, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Senator Starr.
Thank you. In one of the options, Hillsborough is divided into five separate state representative districts. One of the other, and in one of the options, Forest Grove is divided into three separate state representative districts. Does that make any sense to you as it relates to Hillsborough being divided into five separate state house districts?
Well, as I had testified at an earlier hearing, I believe that Hillsborough central core should remain together because of the urban interests. I think that Hillsborough's boundaries go out into agricultural areas, and I can see those areas needing to be kept together. So that doesn't bother me as much as maybe splitting up some of the urban core.
Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you. Thanks mm-hmm. for being here today, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to figure this out as well, Western Washington County, yes. just because of the numbers.
Sure.
What do you think about the idea of having Hillsborough School District kind of be one house district, and then have, and then that would then have to have the seat that you ran for, House District 30, move even further west beyond Forest Grove, maybe to pick up population in more of the rural parts, Banks, Vernonia, Beanstatt Valley. Could you comment on that?
I'm not sure. I think that that would require looking at the population, and I am not privy to all of that information as you are, and you'd have to take a look at that.
I can give you an answer. I think Hillsborough School District is right at about the sweet spot between the two of them would be one Senate district, about the 127,000 range. Question would be is where you divide that. I'm not sure. Maybe TV Highway, maybe pushing it to Forest Grove, Cornelius. But as a senatorial district, do you think that would make sense to have that kind of a general starting point?
I really can't comment on that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you both. I got five people left in 15 minutes, which seems to work out just about right. So why don't we start with Mitch Purcell. Is it Lineal Vandermolen? And Xenia Liebman, please.
Well, I'm first, so I'll start. Good morning, chairs and members of the redistricting committee. My name is Mitch Purcell, and I'm with the Urban League of Portland. The Urban League has been situated in northeast Portland and serving what was the majority African population for 66 years. The opportunities for minority opportunity districts for African Americans in Northeast Portland have been damaged by urban renewal policies and gentrification. This means that the current redistricting should do no harm and not make an already problematic situation worse in terms of representation for African Americans' interests in Salem. So based on the 2010 census data, current House Districts 43 and 44 are 18.16% and 10.26% black, respectively. But both of these districts are below the target population and need to grow in land area. So this means that the percentages will decline even further And we believe that the goal should be to maintain the concentration of black residents in these two districts to the greatest extent as possible. Option 2 achieves this goal better than Option 1 when reviewing Senate District 22, comprised of House District 43 and 44. And Plan 2, the black population percentage in District Senate District 22 is 13.9%, while in Option 1 it is 13.6%. The major reason for the difference is that under Plan 2, Senate District 22 has more African Americans due to the drawing of House District 43, so that it has a black percentage of 17.4% compared to 16.5% black population in Plan 1's District 43 plan. It is the recommendation of the Urban League to increase as much as possible the level of black population percentages in House Districts 43 and 44 by taking some of the northwest corner of House District 45 that in both Plan 1 and Plan 2 are where the black residents are clustered. So to the extent that this increases the population of House District 43 over the target, we suggest that you might redraw the southern line of House District 43 by moving it to the north. Of particular importance, we believe, is the drawing of House District 43 to maximize its percentage of black residents. And I will submit this written testimony that has those percentages kind of clearly delineated. I didn't want to blind you with percentages, but we feel that the integrity of the community can be maintained by redrawing District 43 in that way.
That's extremely helpful. Thank you very much, Mitch. Okay. Next, Ms. Vandermolen.
Yes, hello, Chair and other members. Could I please see the proposed House District Plan 1, and let me tell you what is...
First of all, if you could state your name for the record, and we'll try and get that up on the screen for
I'm
you.
I'm sorry, I'm Lanille Vandermolen.
Okay, thank you.
And as a 9-year resident of the West Hills of Portland, I wanted to say what is wrong with the basic design of having wedge-shaped house districts that start in the metro area and radiate outward. I think I've been in politics long enough to know that this is about getting metro area candidates to extend their influence out as far as possible. And as a resident of that area, I can tell you that in the course of my daily life, I was going back and forth through three different house districts in one day. And as I want, there was an earlier speaker who was saying it feels like one community of interest on the West Hills from House District 34 down through 27 and 36 in Raleigh Hills. Because most of us who live on that site go up and down 217 all day to get from place to place. And yet it's represented by three different districts. And the proposal, number 2, actually exacerbates the current problem by extending, I believe it is either 34 or 27, even further into House District 36. It elongates it even further rather than trying to keep these districts as compressed and as convex as possible. See how that purple area there? That's new. It just really elongates these house districts, and I really think that's for political gain rather than to represent our sense of community interest. So if it's possible to compress these districts rather than have that wedge shape, you'd avoid that bipartisan wrestling match and satisfy us as residents of the Western Portland area. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Liebman?
Hi, I'm Zennia Liebman. I live in House District 14, and one of the things that concerns me is that the Option 2 removes the current rep, Val Hoyle, out of her district by 5 feet. And I'm wondering as to the rationale for that. I realize that you don't redistrict on the basis of where people live, but moving it 5 feet out is a concern. The other thing is, in terms of minimizing the impact of redistricting, Option 2 completely changes over a third of the Senate districts affecting over 1 million people who would be in new districts. And option three actually moves just 90,000 people into new districts, which is which is a lesser impact, and I think that's a valuable consideration. In terms of option one, that does improve in the House District area, House District 14 area. Option one improves on the current districts in Lane County by reuniting Elmira and Vinita in the same district. I think that has a commonality. I'm not entirely clear on what is happening. I happen to live in Junction City, and on option two, I'm not clear on what is happening, but it looks to me like it's been, if someone can, I thought it was separated out previously, that it had, on a map that I had seen, Junction City was its own, kind of separated from, but that may, doesn't appear to be the truth. So,
Thank you. Questions? Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for being here. Ms. Purcell, thank you for your testimony. I think that that was incredibly helpful. Could you bring up Congressional District Map 2, please? And then I guess we don't have Congressional Map 3, huh?
I think it's there.
Yeah, oh, it.
Okay. That's fine. Just going back to these comments on how Congressional District 1, Congressional District 2, and Congressional District 5 all converge together.
You mean 1, 3, and 5?
Yes, 1, 3, and 5, sorry. All converge together in Portland metro area. Under the current plan and under option 3, they converge in the city of, pretty much in the city of Portland. And under option 2, we have them converge around the 217 I-5 area. I'm wondering if you can, I guess my question, in my own mind, I'm trying to find where's that magical point of where the three should converge. In my mind, it's smack middle of Portland Metro. On option two, it's smack middle of pretty much city of Portland. Can you comment on that, on where you think maybe those three should converge?
Sir, in relation to the issues
and how it might affect your community,
right,
that
yeah.
you testified on,
I think that the question of congressional districts are slightly different because the population of African Americans are so small that the considerations around minority opportunity districts take on a lesser importance because the population is so diluted across congressional districts, so that there are other considerations that that take priority, similar to the guy from the conservation, Mr. Maggi, that the considerations are more about urban interests that impacts multiple communities and other issues that are more urban issues rather than racially specific issues. So I am not really prepared in terms of the issues that I was trying to raise today to comment on the congressional boundaries.
Thank you.
We certainly can look at it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, all three of you, very much.
Okay.
Appreciate you being here. We have two more on the list, and then I think we might have a couple more who wandered in. she said she would. So, Andrew Becker and Chris Wigg, please.
Good afternoon, morning. Senators and representatives, thank you for being so patient and hearing everyone out. I appreciate the time that you guys take and how hard this is. It's very difficult. And it seems to me that your committee, you have this, you're walking.
Need your name for the record.
Oh, my name for the record is Chris Wigg, and I am a graduate student at the University of Oregon and Eugene resident. And your committee is balancing the status quo with population shifts, right? And like he, the one gentleman, the analogy of the balloon, the moving the air around the balloon. So if you don't change anything, there's improper representation. Not all the citizens are properly represented. But if there's too many changes, it, one thing we haven't talked about is that it has a potential to undermine the relationship between legislators and constituents. And specifically, I would like to talk about option two in the Eugene area, where there are some really problematic factors that Xenia, so she brought them up first, some of them. But Senator Beyer and Senator Edwards' districts are being converged together when they represent two very different constituencies in Springfield and Eugene. And that's not, it's not necessarily appropriate. A Eugene resident and a Springfield resident, they have different goals and different aspirations, and I think that that is something that, you know, it could be problematic in the future. Xenia also brought up Representative Hoyle being drawn out of her district by the other side of the street, and Senator Bonamici was very, she stated very concisely that, that we don't take that into account, but come on, that's, it's too close. It's not, I guess in some, I came here not to bring in anything new and interesting, but just to tell you that we're paying attention in Eugene. Residents are paying attention to these things that are going on. And it's not right. It doesn't seem right to draw a representative who has done a great job in her district for a number of years out by the other side of the road. It just smacks me as being inappropriate. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Becker.
My name is Andrew Becker. I also live in Eugene at 48th and Donald. You know, I think any coherent political description of Oregon would say that it definitely leans liberal. Despite this, you know, there's been a lot of partisan bickering about the past redistricting of Oregon. I've heard arguments even today that, you know, the way it has been redistricted in the past was overly partisan. Yet the results that we see are an perfectly evenly divided House of Representatives here in the legislature. So obviously that dog don't hunt. We have a mandate in redistricting. You guys have a mandate in redistricting to make sure that communities of interest are not separated and that as few changes as possible are made to existing political boundaries. So, in reference to Co-Chair Lindsay's earlier statement of whether or not he thinks that option two's 420,000 people being moved around is prohibited, I would say that if you look at options one and three, yes, because option three only moves 90,000 people. Option one, a little bit more than that. Option two grossly ignores the mandate of this committee, which is to change as few things as possible to represent the population shifts. And, you know, if we're charged with making as few changes as possible, option two and one do that, whereas option two does not. So I believe your choice is not only clear, but that it is mandated by law, and that we should follow that as strictly as possible and make sure that the things are properly represented and make sure that we don't make too many changes.
Thank you. I think Co-Chair Lindsay's point was that nothing in the law addresses how many people would be moved around into different districts.
True, it doesn't say that. However, given two very different options that change a lot less people out of their districts, if the law says that you can't move, that you should seek to move as few people as possible,
if it doesn't actually say that.
Well, it says that you should seek to adhere to existing political boundaries, correct?
Correct.
So option two would violate that compared to the other options.
All right, that's an interesting legal discussion for another day. But,
am I wrong? Would it not violate it more than the other
options? Well, that's an interesting point. I'll leave it at that. Do we have questions for the panel? Okay. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Parrish, and is there anybody else who didn't sign up who would like to testify? Tom Barrows. You can come up now.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thanks.
Hey there, I'm Julie Parrish, House District 37. I actually didn't realize this was going on today. I came down to the building for other reasons. But heard some of the testimony, my staff was listening to it, and, you know, this is a fascinating conversation to me. And I guess being new and also having a little bit sideways perspective on things, some of the conversation about, you know, we're carving people out of districts or whatever, I guess my take coming into this is that are we doing it for people, or are we doing it for, you know, seated legislators, or are we doing it for, you know, for the people of Oregon? Because quite frankly, if you want to draw my district up to Portland, I'm going to go knock doors all day long, and I'm going to talk to voters. So I'm not super concerned about the lines for me, because on the one map, and truthfully I don't remember which one's which, but there's one, I'm in House District 37, and one of the maps carves out the rural portion of my district, and I don't remember which is the one, but so that's my district as it looks now, and I only needed to pick up like 100 voters or 100 people, and then we do this thing where we cut out that little chunk, so you start with kind of a bottom that ends like this, and then we carve out that chunk. The irony of it is whatever that map is makes my day easier knocking doors, because now I don't have to drive up in rural districts and go drive into people's driveways, and I can only do about 10 of those an hour. So I actually kind of like that map. But the interesting thing is that map, while it does change my registration and makes it a little more swing to the Democratic voter side, it cuts out rural Tualatin from their city council, and it cuts them out from the Westland Wilsonville School District. So now you cut them out of two things that they believe in and belong to. You made my life easier, but you've hurt the city, the rural voters there, because now they no longer belong to the city of Tualatin, and they have Tualatin addresses, and they no longer belong to the Westland Wilsonville School District by carving them out and putting them to whatever the new number is, which I think would be like an open seat race. So I have real concerns about that for them, not for me, because you put me anywhere and I'm just going to happily go about and talk to voters because I have nothing better to do. So that map makes my life easier, but it does cause concern for me for the folks who live in Tualatin, because rural Tualatin, because now they're disconnected from everything, from their school district and from their city. And so you put them in with Sherwood Schools and you put them in with some other folks, they belong to nothing at that point. And I have real concerns for the people who live there. So my life gets better, their life gets a little bit more strange and convoluted. So I'm hoping that you would reconsider that for them. I will still happily drive to driveways and talk to people. But that does make things a little strange for them. And I've heard some concern about that from people in my district. So glad that I actually could get that on the record for them. Because I don't think it's about me as I'm out knocking doors. I think it's about people. And if you're a good enough candidate, it really should, the registration piece shouldn't matter, because you're going to have a good message and you're going to go sell who you are and you're going to sell your ideas regardless of party. So, like I said, that works for me. Doesn't work for the city of Tualatin and the rural community, and hopefully that will be considered as you guys work on negotiating the next set of maps. So thank you.
And we've identified that as an area that we should talk about. So thank you for that very helpful comment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Tom Barrows. I'm here as a resident of West Salem, Oregon. In 2002, my family and I moved to West Salem, primarily because it had a feeling of community, and we wanted that in the rest of Salem, although it had areas that sort of had that feel. Nothing really had its own sort of feel like West Salem. Would urge any plan that you propose and move on not split West Salem in two. It is a real community, and that's why we moved there.
Very good. Questions?
No, Mr. Chair, I just want to make a comment. First of all, Tom, I think we got that message really clearly from several people. So thank you. And Representative Parrish, your testimony was refreshing. So thank you for being here. Thank you. All right. Well, you guys have a much harder job in some ways than I do, but I have to go solve human service budgets. So excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else who'd like to testify? I didn't sign up. All right. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to read a few into the record testimony we've received since our last meeting. Written testimony has been received by staff and entered into the public record from Carl Twombly from King City, May 20, 2011. Actually, all of these are May 20, 2011. Frank Shirko from Lincoln County, Ann Morrill from Portland, Ken Gates from South Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Miriam Rosenthal from Portland, Mark Lacey from Joseph, Harold Jensen, Demi Espinoza, Diane Dillard, Caitlin Campbell from Portland, Alana Maeve Connor from Portland, Robert Beal from Eugene, Scott Reese from Beaverton, Tricia Stockwell from Columbia City, Bob Horrell from Brookings, Diane Dillard from Columbia County, Carolyn Backstrom from Canby, Maureen Aker from Coos Bay, Wayne Law from Hillsboro, Grace Harrington from Beaverton, Mike Kehoe from Lake Oswego, Manuel Castaneda from Hillsboro, David Eshe from Hillsboro, James Morales, Benton County Clerk, Jeff Smith from Beaverton, Joseph Holloway from Portland, and Lincoln County Commissioners.
Make a closing comment before we gavel down. I just want to thank everyone who came here to testify today. Although most people are gone, I just want to make a comment that I really appreciate the input that we've received. And I heard Representative Garrett say the other day, you know, we could have done this behind closed doors, but we didn't want to do that. We wanted to put some proposals out and get input from the public on those, and we will consider all the comments that were made today in the testimony. So with that, I'll close the Senate Committee on Redistricting.
And I will close the House Committee on Redistricting. Thank you. Have a good week.